Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister, and I'm a 26-year talk radio host. And Live Paranormal is an outreach, liveparanormal.com is where you can find the radio network, Raising the Vibration, radio.com for the show, and Sheena Metal Spiritual for me. Raising the Vibration is an outreach of a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I started in 2016 to honor my mom's teachings, both spiritual and humane. The things that I was raised on, I now help spread those good words to you. Right here, every Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time, that's where you can find the radio show. The nonprofit is at raisingthevibration.org. Every week on the show, I gather folks that I feel are the brightest and the most beautiful minds and hearts and souls in not only the spiritual and paranormal communities, but also in the world of giving back. And we ask, what is your service? What are you doing to make the world a more beautiful place? And these four things, are you ascending, are you evolving, are you inspiring others, and how much are you loving? That's what we talk about every week here on Raising the Vibration on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. My guest today is certainly no exception to any of those things. He's a wonderfully talented actor, comic, performer, writer, producer, director, and then also a brilliant psychic medium in his own right. He's also lovely, and you'll love him, and he's like my brother. I love him, and so will you. Please welcome to the show the very wonderful Paul Jacek is here. Hello, my friend. How are you? It's great to have you here.
Sheena, how are you?
I'm wonderful. It's good to hear your voice. We survived the pandemic, my friend. Well,
we barely, but I'm here.
We did it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hasn't it been a year?
And a half. It has. You know, I'm going live in July. We're going live from my service, Saturday Night Spiritual. I'm a staff pastor at Founders MCC in Hollywood, and that's my service, SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. And we're calling it my two-year anniversary, although technically this month was my two-year anniversary, but they wanted to do it when there were people there. It's the first time since February of 2020 that we will actually have parishioners in the building.
Oh, I'm so excited. Let me grab a pen. Well, I will text you because I want to be there. So
I want you there. I want you to speak. Come and speak.
Oh, done.
Yeah. Come and be a part of it, my wonderful friend. Can you believe that, though? I mean, that is a long time. And I don't think we really realize, and I know every week on the show I say I'm not going to talk about the pandemic, and then we always do. I don't think we really realize how much that isolation has changed us all. And spiritually, humanely, intellectually, emotionally. So tell me what it's been like for you this year and a half of isolation.
Well, for me, it was not isolation, you know, although there were dramatic shifts. So I kiddingly say, thank goodness I was an only child, I play nicely in my room. I have
yeah,
not
me too. Me
somebody
too.
Who, you know,
too,
I knew that we would be okay because it's not that we're isolationists, but I don't look to other people for my happiness.
Right,
so,
me too.
Although they were using the word social distancing, and I would quietly think, no, it's physical distancing, because that seems precarious at this point. But because of this amazing technology of which we're using right now, oh, my gosh, it opened up. Sheena, I was chatting with friends of mine in Dublin and in Paris and in Des Moines on a regular basis, because we so needed each other. Now, it was through Zoom and so forth, but there was a time, you know, I grew up in the late 60s, early 70s. A long-distance phone call was very expensive, and you didn't do it for long. And now it's Dick Tracy land. We can look at our Apple Watch and chat with people. It's really quite marvelous. So this year and a half for me spiritually or in my work was, it was interesting. When I would try to do readings on Zoom, because of the delay, it was very difficult for me to connect. So I was doing my reading just via phone, so it was a much more immediate response. But people, the lockdown and the pandemic forced people to look at stuff that they may not have wanted to. It was a very big Saturn return for the planet. And I always think of Saturn like a big
yes.
guy who brings a box of stuff maybe from the attic and dumps it in the living room and says, go through that. So
yes.
we all had to
yes.
we all had to sort through and you know, and then I moved. You know, Sheena, I lived in Hollywood for 30 years. And I'm on Ocean Boulevard in Long Beach and happy as a clam.
Isn't that nice? And I, too, I was a 30-year anniversary of my selling of my, I mean, of buying my house was March 15th of this year. But for the last year, I've been down in Orange County either staying with my partner in Seal Beach or getting my mom's house ready in Huntington to become my primary residence, at which point the Valley will become my secondary residence. So I
well,
made
you
the
know, I'm down
you made, my friend.
On I'm in Huntington Beach at least 3 to 4, and every time I fly by the corner of Seal Beach Boulevard and PCH, I'm like, now, Sheena is around here somewhere. Or then I get down to PCH and Huntington, and I'm like, she's not far from here.
Yes and yes. The answer is yes, and the answer is yes. I am both of those places. And I love it. I missed my home. I missed the beach. And I'm loving being where I am, but I love the Valley, and I love being there, too. So I have always had two homes. It's just that now I have a family, so it's
mm-hmm.
easier to be in the big sleepy house than it is to be in the city house with the parking restrictions and all the things that come with living in a complex with rules and HOAs. And you know what I mean? Although, my God, the neighbors at my mom's house, you would think I'm in an HOA because I need to teach them all a class on raising the vibration.
Well, and you know, the energy last year was let Gore be dragged.
Yes. Yes, it was. It absolutely was. And it was, it's interesting because I don't know about you, but my spiritual practice was never busier. I mean, I literally.
Oh, no. I mean,
my practice took off.
On paper, it was the best year I've ever had.
Me too. Me too. Mm-hmm.
Because it did
but
force
it was
people to.
I did it all. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. It was strange in the fact that I thought, you know, people are hungry. They're hungry for the sacred, and their questions were very poignant about why is, you know, did I do something wrong? Is this happening because we've done something wrong? And I said, if it's not a value judgment of right or wrong, we've been given this time. It was like the easy button from Staples. You know, this will be easy. It depends on how we do it. Now, many people were faced with the situation of, oh, you know what, I'm locked in the house with my family, and I never really wanted one.
Right. And I was locked in the house with a brand-new family that I had known a little over a month. And although I really wanted one, unbeknownst to me, who knew I wanted one, but I did, I think maybe the way that I got one was, if I had it to do over again, I might have done a little different because, although I believe there are no accidents, because it's hard to get to know people when you're locked in together and you all have COVID.
Well, there's that.
That's not the most ideal situation. It was literally like Walking Dead, where everybody has to become family because they're stuck in one shack and the zombies are surrounding, you know?
Well,
but
and
again,
many people
I don't
had
believe in accidents.
Exactly. Many people had so many amazing breakthroughs in their own practice. And I think the spiritual advantage that I'm seeing of people, you know, at a personal level, my business grew so quickly, but I was also so heartened that people were hearing it. You know, I've told my clients for years, let's talk about meditation, and they go, aren't you busy? Well, now there's nothing else to do. And once they, I'm sorry.
No, 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 you finish your thought, then I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay. Once they found that meditation was beneficial, I had one girl go, I like it so much, it's all I want to do. I said, well, you know, it is not a bad idea, because in adjusting our thought, and this, I stand at the ocean there at Tower 11 in Huntington Beach and watch the waves and go, isn't this incredible? What force?
Yeah.
I have never been so firmly convinced in the stability of this planet and the fact that it is stitched together with love, and that, that whatever is turning the tide is beating my heart, have my back. Oh, it's just the pandemic for me, although I prayed every night for people who were in struggle and losing folks. Somebody said, this is so scary. I said, well, I'm old. You know, next month I'll turn 63. And I've been around pandemics. I was born for the polio pandemic. In the sixth grade, we were all flipped out about German measles, and they used that very scary gun and gave you a shot in the gymnasium. And then I certainly was aware and present for the AIDS crisis. So I'm kind of an old hat at quarantine or, you know, at pandemics. So if you have questions, go ahead and ask.
Right, exactly, right? So, yeah, I wasn't scared we were all going to die, even though we had COVID and we probably could have died. But I think that the amount, the level of fear with my clients in the beginning, every question was, am I going to die, am I going to die, am I going to die? And then I think it quickly changed to, are we ever going to get to go back to normal? Are we ever going to go back to normal? And then I think it quickly changed to, now what am I going to do with my own life? Do you know what I mean? Now that I realize the outside elements aren't going to kill me, what inside changes do I need to make? And to me, and I talk about this during my Saturday night spiritual sermons all the time, this is a change, Paul, that the world so desperately needed. We desperately needed to figure out. All have the same experience at exactly the same time for two reasons. One, to realize there is no us and them. There's only we. And the other, so that we could figure out, wow, what do we globally need to change in ourselves to individually change our vibration so we can change the global vibration? You know what I mean?
I do.
I think that is the major, major lesson of this pandemic for us. You know, how am I going to change myself to better myself? I just did a spiritual symposium. I'm on the board of directors for the Lavender Effect, and I did a queer spiritual symposium this weekend with a bunch of fantastic clergy members. And one of the things that I talked about was, you know, this idea, right, that my mama used to say the world was a giant machine, and every one of us was a little cog or a little wheel or a little belt. And if we all did our thing right in our own lives, then the machine ran better. And I think seeing the whole machine almost ending because of a virus made us really think not just about the preservation of the machine, of the one human family, of the earth, but also about, oh, the earth doesn't really need us, so that doesn't really apply. But also about, you know, what are we doing in our own lives to be the best little cog that we can be so that we can make the world a better place? And I think we had a lot of time to think about that. What are we liking and not liking about our own lives? And I went through that too. So for you, on a personal level, what did you realize about yourself with all the busy, busy, busy not there?
Well, when you're left with just you, I remember standing there going, what do I do now? Everything's closed. Everything's done. I went up to the roof, and as you know, I lived there by Hollywood and La Brea. And it was such a clear morning, and I'd unfortunately been listening to CNN, so I was a little at ends and tea kettles, a little frayed. And then I'm standing on the roof, and I can not only see Catalina Island from the heart of Hollywood, I can almost discern buildings in Avalon. And I went, in my nearly 40 years in California, it's never been this clear. We're having an opportunity to hit the reset button and sense this beautiful garden of a planet. What will we do? I went downstairs. I was so excited. I thought, okay, well, then how would I design my life now? Because obviously the old people, my clients go, when are we returning to normal? And I will go, oh, I don't know that you want normal. Were you comfortable with women making 50% less than men? That's part of the normal. We have an opportunity now, you know, to make it all new and fresh. Mm-hmm. So let's make it new and fresh. And I love that it is a we. Never have I been more convinced about the connection of people, that minds are joined, bodies are not.
Right. Yes. Absolutely, that is true. Yeah. And I think that we're thinking more as a whole now. Now, is there still a lot of division? Well, yeah, but that's the nature of people, right? I always say, if three people are in a room, two people will tell you like that why they don't like the third one. But I think overall, right? I think overall we're getting better, and overall we're getting there. And for me, on a personal level, a very interesting thing happened. And I tell this story on the show a lot, but a very dear friend of mine once told me that what served him as an actor did not serve him in his personal life, that doing everything he could do to get the job was not the way to have interpersonal relationships with people, because you wound up always being the one sort of pandering to get a person to do what you like, that like me and love me. And I realized as he said that, this was many years ago, that I very much was guilty of that in my life. Having everybody taken out of my life, and people, you know, a lot of people didn't call and didn't write. People worried about their own stuff. They were in their own world. It made me realize, first of all, who had to go and who should stay. So congratulations, my friend, you made the cut. And also, it made me realize how many times in my life I had compromised myself and my essence and my being because I wanted someone to like me or not hate me or not go away or not take the job away or the thing away or the – and guess what? Then God came and took all that stuff away, and I lived, and I survived, and I'm still here. And as all those things left, other wonderful things came in and replaced them. So I really realized that there was a bad pattern in me of always making myself the likable person or the person with the resources so people would not make me indispensable. And so I would become indispensable. And the truth was, it wasn't making me happy. And I somehow had lost me along the way. So now I have new patterns. Now when people start to get strange, I just very nicely disappear. And when people become abusive, I block them. I used to never believe in blocking on social media, but I realized sometimes you have to block for your own defense. I don't block to show people a lesson, but last year I had a stalker, got all my Facebook pages shut down, and it took me until last week to get them back. So I was pretty much Facebook dead from September.
No, I remember. I remember when that started.
And there was nothing I could do about it. Yes, and there was nothing I could do about it. And it was just a mean stalker who didn't like the fact that my videos were doing so well on Life Paranormal and got them all shut down. And so I survived by using fake names and aliases to have pages so I could still broadcast. But it made me realize you have to block people to protect yourself. You have to walk away from people energetically to protect yourself, and it doesn't mean that you're being a bad person. It just means that it's okay to say, this is not raising my vibration. I can't do this anymore. And I finally got to that point, and it feels really good to be there. So now when I see people on Facebook or somewhere that have committed some kind of, you know, shenanigans against in my life and in some regard that made me feel bad, I don't even care anymore. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're that weirdo. Okay, next. Whereas I used to take everything to heart, and I used to take people's unpleasant behavior to heart and wonder what I did wrong to cause it. And now I free myself of it. So So either I have that COVID apathy that a lot of long haulers have, or I actually finally learned my lesson, one of the two. But it's hard when you're an empath, right? I always say an empath always says, what did I do? And a narcissist always says, what did you do? So we kind of wind up always taking the blame for everything. And I have very much have released myself of that. And it feels so good. And my life's mission is to help others release themselves of that too.
I was having this conversation at lunch today with a lovely woman. And she is of an age. She is older than myself. And the limitations that we were talking about. And I finally said, do you know really, and I mean know in your gut, that you can have anything you desire? And she said, that's not true. And I said, sweetheart, you've raised your kids. Your husband's gone. From here on in, it's whatever you want. You want to wear your underwear backwards? You want whatever.
Yeah.
Because
I
the universe will always say yes to you, even to your own self-destruction.
Yeah.
And she sat there for a minute. She goes, well, I've wasted so much time. I said, time is irrelevant. Do it now for sure. And she goes, really?
Right.
I was talking to another client of mine who is facing cancer. And I think the one thing that I really enjoyed about time away is that we had to take inventory. What do I believe? What do I know? Do I want to keep this sweater? I mean, there was an inventory at a deep level. And so I was leading her through a meditation so she could find some comfort. She was having some discomfort from chemotherapy. And she'd been to Paris many more times than I had. And I said, well, here in this fantasy, in this meditation, take me. Let's walk along the Champs-Élysées. Oh, and she knew people. She spoke French. We went to a little cafe in this fantasy. And she said, and up ahead are some designer salons. I said, oh, well, let's go in. Look, I said, is that Hermès? Let's go in. She goes, well, I can't afford anything in there. And I stopped her. I said, Jennifer. And her eyes flew open. And I said, honey, this is a fantasy. Not only do we want you to go in, buy everything they have. In fact, buy the building. In fact, buy Paris. And she blinked a couple of times. She goes, really? I said, see, you limited you. Life is unlimited.
Right. Isn't that sad that even in a meditation, we're using a scarcity consciousness with ourselves?
Absolutely. She said, oh, we can't afford it. I'm like, I can. I'm putting on cute dresses. I'm going to put my hair up. I will prance around because I can. And she said, that's really important. I have to look at that. And it was so freeing for me about where I have limitations. And to go, no, you know what? It's all the power of choice is very, very important.
I agree. But you have to say, I deserve better. And you really have to say, and I say this to my clients every day, not my circus, not my monkeys. Like you, it's okay to say, this was a horrible thing. And I got treated like shit. But guess what? This isn't worth it. These people aren't worth it. Anybody who doesn't treat me the way that I desire to be treated doesn't belong with me. And you just have to let them go, and it's okay. You know, it's kind of like when you go to pick out a cat. So I have a new kitten. He's magic. 3 months old. I can't wait for you to meet him. His name is Cullen. And we fostered some cats starting in April. And we were supposed to have 4 tabbies that were 3 boys and a girl, orange tabbies. And my partner loves orange tabbies, so she was thrilled. What happened was, as they picked them up from the no-kill shelter to give to us, this little guy, they got a call. There was a little guy. They were 10 days old. There was a little guy at the kill shelter in Carson. And he was 3 days old. They found him all by himself, and they were going to euthanize him. So the rescue went and picked him up, and they couldn't get him to stop screaming. And the only thing that stopped was when they put him with the orange ones. So they said, will you please take a 5th one? So this little guy comes, right? And he's literally like 3 inches long, and he smells like poop, and his eyes are closed, his ears are closed, and his claws are always out because he's scared the next tragedy's coming, so he's sleeping with his claws out like a ninja. And I mean, they're all beautiful cats, and whoever gets them, they're going to be so lucky. But this little guy from the get-go was mine. And I think in your life, right, you know you can't take all the cats. You can't be friends with everybody. There's no time. So it's okay to pick and choose and find the people that resonate with you. And you don't, and life is ever changing, right? If you believe someone resonates with you and then you find out that that person doesn't, it's okay to say, you know, namaste away. I love you, but you got to stay there and I'm coming over here. And I send you love, but I can't do this. And it's okay. We're not forced to be around people forever. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And, you know, there are seasons with people. You know, I firmly believe, and the fact that at least in Los Angeles, there's 10 million people here. There's always more of whatever you need. It's a spiritual law. So it took me a little while to not take my personal relationship personally. And that sounds cold, but because of this moment of reflection that we've had, I am so much more interested in my relationship with the divine and then how I can spread that, because the rejuvenation that I've experienced, I never expected to live this long. Or look as good. And
well, that I never did not, that I never had a doubt. But okay.
Bless you. But that's what I'm saying. It's not a needy place. You know, many of my clients will come, when am I going to be married? When am I going to find a boyfriend? Well, honey.
Right.
You know, P.S., it's you.
Right. I've been my own boyfriend for years.
Exactly. Well, and within that,
I was the best boyfriend and the best girlfriend I ever had.
Well, that's what, I am so excited about this amazing discovery of LGBTQIA+. And I was having a conversation with a young boy who's 12, and he's confused about pride. He said, "Can I talk to you? Why am I being left out?" And I said, here's what's interesting.
Oh.
I don't think you're being left out. If you look at the rainbow, the reason the rainbow was chosen is everybody gets to play.
Exactly.
He goes, but I'm not that way. And I said, well, this isn't about a way. It's your way, and your way is okay. My way is okay. The trans, all of that, it's okay. And he goes, well, did this just happen? I said, no. This has been going on for as long as there's been humans. What changed is now we're comfortable enough to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, so is it okay for me to ask questions? I said, absolutely. See, it's okay.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, that's confusing. I said, have you noticed, though, when you declare something okay, then you really begin to relax. Takes you back to the power of choice. Now, if you don't want to support these people, that's your choice too. But if this group of people is inclusive, so come on over. Come play with us. Let your freak flag fly.
Exactly.
And he goes,
I think most people. No, finish, sweetie.
I said, you know, do you want to put on a skirt? Do you want to play? You know, I said, you know, I grew up in the theater. So it was, if I put on a costume, I go to a play. It's supposed to be fun. He goes, really? I said, believe it or not, you know, you watch Golden Girls? I played Rose for 84 performances. He said, really? I said, so it's all, if you don't find it fun, then I wouldn't do it. But if you, he goes, well, that might be kind of fun. I'd like to wear a cape. I said, let's do that. Kind of fun.
Do you remember, I don't know if this happened when you were growing up, because you're a little older than me, but when I was in high school, there was always one day of the year where the football players wore the cheerleaders' outfits and the cheerleaders wore the football players' outfits.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. Those uptight little straight people were never happier than that day. Those boys had bigger boobs than any of those cheerleaders had, because they would put the bra, the huge bra, and stuff it, and their skirts were so short you could practically see their stuff hanging down. And those girls loved putting on those guys' outfits and stomping around and talking in the deep voices. All of us, there is a bisexual in every single one of us, because every single person on the earth, I would imagine, at some time has wondered, questioned, fantasized, thought about what it would be like to be attracted to someone of both genders or no gender at all, now that so many folks have no gender. It is a natural thing to ask questions. It's a natural thing to wonder in the same way. All of us, I believe, are a little bit interfaith. We have all wondered at some point, what would it be like to be Jewish? What would it be like to be a Muslim? What would it be like to be a Buddhist? And that's perfectly normal. Inside of us lives the spectrum of everything. And all we have to do is then we pick and choose what we want to be, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what when I was just trying to explain to this sweet young man, because he was even afraid if he asked questions it made people uncomfortable. Well, how else do you learn? But recently, a dear friend of mine, I've known him for over 30 years, he lives in Florida, and he was in town. This is just before the pandemic, and he bought a house down in West Palm Beach. So he's showing me pictures, and I am seeing a very hunky man helping with shrubbery, and very hunky man has a fierce black beard. And so I go, okay, I want to know. He goes, oh, yeah, no, that's Sergio. That's my boyfriend. I said, really cute. He said, yes, indeed. He said, so we're going to have a conversation. I said, what? Are you guys going to get married? He goes, I'm not sure. Sergio's trans. I said, oh, okay. He said, you know, female to male. I said, oh, okay. And he goes, before you ask, I ate it before I screwed it. I went, whoa, 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 whoa. What's that? Can we slow down for just a second? Even, you know, you and I have had this conversation forever, but I haven't had this conversation with many others. So I said, I appear a little naive, but I would like to ask some questions, you big bottom. And he goes, he laughed. And I go, so, and he said, so here's the deal. Sergio is the best man I've ever met. I said, excellent.
Yeah.
And he said, I've had to expand because so far our generation was based on plumbing. And we,
yes,
even the community, you know, was encompassing, oh, love is love, until we get there. And he said, the homophobia that I've run into from friends of mine in this community. And I said, well, and he said, literally, Sergio is considerate, he's kind, he's sexy, he's wonderful, he takes care of me. He said, what we do in our bedroom is really nobody's business. He said, but it's also the most gratifying I've ever had. I'm like, oh, I'm so happy. And then he said, would you date a trans man? And I sat there for a minute, and I go, I'm thinking about it. Now, Sheena, I've asked other gay men, their immediate reaction is, nope, I don't want that. This isn't, then slow down. You're not as open as you think you are. And especially here in Pride Month, I want you to think about it. And they're like, but that's not what I like. So I said, so you really are saying that you're just about the genitalia and not the person. No, no. I mean, I said, no, no. I want you to be clear, because your immediate reaction was setting. I'll tell you my own experience of opening that up. I'm all about, I have such a crush on Ian Harvey, which, you know, he's been on Transparent. He's an amazing stand-up comic who happens to be trans. And my favorite joke of his, and I said to him backstage as we did a show, I said, I have such a crush on you, I would do you right now. And he goes, I'm a straight man. And I went, oh, that's right. But what made me laugh is he always says to people, you know, he said, you know, I'm going to say it right now. People always go, you know, you got a dick on you? He goes, yeah, just not on me. You know, do you have a dick? Do you have a dick? He goes, yeah, just not on me. And I just love him so much. And his girlfriend is the luckiest girl in the whole USA, I will say right now. So as we open these conversations,
yeah.
And it just expands, I will tell you, Sheena, since I've moved to Ocean Boulevard, I haven't dated so much in 25 years.
Isn't that nice? Well, it's
so
because
it's,
everybody at the beach, you know, at the beach you work to live, you don't live to work. So people are interested in things like dating. You know?
Well, and they're so kind. They say things like, good morning. the first time that happened, I was taking a walk. I looked, turned around and looked at the guy. And he goes, "You okay?" I said, I was just startled. I'm so sorry. Good morning. Because that had not, no one talks in Hollywood. We're all in a big rush.
Yeah, you're right. No, it's lovely down here. I agree. It's a beautiful thing. It has changed me forever, spending this time here. And it's raised my vibration, right? A place that I ran away from because it was too conservative. And now I'm back, and I feel like I'm here to do some good work here, and I'm needed here. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to open a spiritual center here because I'm needed here.
Well, and I feel the same way. You know, I moved to Ocean Boulevard in 1980, and I had a little one-bedroom apartment that was $300 a month. I am four blocks west of where that was, and I'm just pleased as punch to be back in the neighborhood. My shoulders dropped out of my ears.
Absolutely. I'm so sorry. We cut out. We are having technical difficulties. Please stand by. That was scary. I lost you for a minute.
I know. I'm not sure I was doing it, so I was sitting stock still.
That's how you know it's live. That's how you know it's live, my friend. It was an interesting time to come back home because I grew up in Huntington Beach. In the middle of the pandemic, and then I literally came for Valentine's weekend to be with my brand new girlfriend and just stayed because the pandemic hit. And I mean, I go home and check on my house, and I go home and run errands and stuff. I go home about every week for a couple days or just for a day, but I didn't think I would be here this long. But it's interesting how this place that I ran away from because I found it so oppressive spiritually and politically, one, it grew up a lot, and two, I grew up a lot, and I've learned a lot about myself by being back home, and a lot about what raising the vibration means, and for me, the ocean is where God lives, so being around the ocean has been so healing for me. You know?
I can't get enough ocean, you know, I take my coffee in the morning and I cross the street and I stand at the top of the stairs and I look out at the Queen Mary and go, look at you. Both queens have retired in Long Beach.
Isn't she beautiful? I love her. I had the scariest paranormal night of my life on that girl. And I still love her so very much. And my dear friend Andrea Perrin, whose family was the family that was the subject of The Conjuring, I met her on the Queen Mary. And this last week I just did an episode of her brand new television show. And I'm so proud of her. So the Queen Mary has so many memories for me. But my favorite memory, believe it or not, even more favorite than getting the living shit scared out of me, was waking up in the morning and the foghorn going off. And being on the harbor side of the ship, on the deck below the promenade deck, and hearing that foghorn. And now sometimes in Seal Beach, because of we're closer to the harbor and because of the naval shipyard, and now because every tanker in the world is parked in Seal Beach in the water and not moving, which is why you can't find what you want at Walmart, I hear a lot of them at night when there's fog. And I love it. It's very interesting to be in Seal Beach because to be across from the Naval Shipyard because you hear taps and you hear the bugle in the morning and the taps at sundown. And then all the it's just a very different – it's you know, so interesting how you can live one town over from Huntington, but it can be so different because Huntington is so surf-based. Such a different place, but it's so – and then Long Beach is totally different, and it's one town over from Seal. And to me, that's the beauty – has its own spiritual resonance, right? And you have to find the place that resonates with you.
Well, last year I was standing on my balcony in Hollywood and the social unrest, there were like 150,000 people at the corner of Hollywood and La Brea. I mean, Sheena, the energy and the noise, and I was with them in spirit because the cataclysm of all of those events and the violence that was going on. But I don't know that I ever understood what 150,000 people in my neighborhood. Oh, and P.S., they didn't bring porta potties. Just saying.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. Anyway,
right.
All of a sudden I heard helicopters. Now, I used to fly for an airline, and even now, when I hear a copter or a plane close, I always look up to see it is. Helicopter gunships are going over very low. I can see they're bristling with armament. And that's when a flash grenade went off. And I've never experienced a flash grenade that the concussion, and people started screaming and running, but it almost broke my window. And the noise, and I went to my knees, and I started to cry because I was so scared. And I thought, I can't do this. And I called my dear cousin Greg, who lives in Seal Beach. And he said, get out of there. Get down here. Get out of there. So I went down, got in my car. There's a tank in front of my building with military personnel with rifles who says, halt, this is shelter in place. Go back inside. And I wasn't allowed to leave.
Oh, wow.
And I was afraid. I was sitting in my apartment going, I'm caught in a bad Michael Bay movie. I am a musical comedy kid. I do a little stand-up. I can't do this. And then the people running through the hallways, pounding on the walls. And I thought, this is – So the next morning I got up at 4:30 when it was quiet, and I jumped in the car, and I came down and spent 2 months with him. I didn't even go back in 2 months. And I thought, well – Rossmore is not a bad place to spend the end of the world. So, and he said to me, why don't you move? I said, well, you know, my business. He goes, oh, Hollywood's over. All of that's done. He said, and you're old. He's 4 years older than I am. So I thought about it. So I found this little apartment. I can't be any happier. I've gotten more work since I moved than I ever did while I was in town. So I love that this, once again, this energy that takes care of us takes such beautiful care of us.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing is there already is this beautiful vibration of the earth, right? All we have to do is tap into it. All we have to do is get out of the way. I think it was 1 year at the Golden Globes. I want to say it was George Clooney when he won for Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? And he said something like, when you work in a Coen Brothers film, you just try to stay out of the way and not screw it up. Kind of how I feel about your spiritual path, how I feel about vibration. Spirit has already put it all in place in the most beautiful way. We're the ones getting in the way and lowering it. You know what I mean? The earth doesn't need us to raise its vibration. The earth only needs us to stop lowering it. So if you just accept the beauty that's already there. It's already laid out for you with your spiritual path, right? If you just accept the wonderful things that Spirit has laid out for you, it's already there. It's just a matter of getting out of your own way. And I think people think it's such an, there's such an upheaval, but it's not. Finding where you belong is really just like you did, Paul. It's taking steps away from what makes you unhappy. And then lo and behold, you find what makes you happy. It's not a struggle. It's just, you know, stop swimming against the current, right? And allow yourself to go where you're supposed to go. And I think you moving back here and me moving back here, this is a very organic thing.
I agree with you. And here's what's interesting. I really didn't understand how much value I placed on struggle.
Yes. But that's the entertainment industry. We're raised that way, right? We're weaned in acting school that it's all going to be so terrible and we're probably never going to make it. So just get used to it now.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing
that
we're weaned on as young actors, the other thing that we are weaned on is we'll take this job no matter how horrible it is because it'll probably be the last offer you ever get. So we are conditioned as young people to take whatever we can get. And that sets up a bad pattern in our lives with people of getting into a relationship or a friendship or a work relationship with someone and then feeling like we can never get out because what if we never have another friend or another partner or another coworker? You know what I mean? And it just,
I do.
It makes you a beggar. And no one should live like that.
Well, and it's against the law of abundance. And somebody said, well, that really doesn't work for me. I said, you know, that's why it's a law. It has no personal interest in your story, but there's always more of whatever you need. One ear of corn fills five fields. God didn't get to the corner of the universe and go, oh, I'm out of rocks. I have to stop here. No.
Right.
It's always expanding. But your personal prosperity may be a different journey. But if you relax
right.
and realize, he said, well, what about the homeless? And I said, mental and emotional damage is a real thing, absolutely. But if you'll notice, it even works there. Drunks on the street always have enough cigarettes.
Yep, yep, yep. My mom used to say, God takes care of drunks and fools.
My grandmother
the
said the same thing.
Always flows
God takes takes care of drunks, fools, and
alcohol
children.
Alcohol always comes from somewhere. Yes, and I used to always add in the Irish because we're Irish. Because somehow
thank,
we always
thank goodness
take
we're
care.
Irish. That's
right?
Right?
My mom would say, that's it. That's the end of the road. And then a check would mysteriously appear. She'd be like, at the last minute, God always takes care of us. But that alone,
God provides.
That is faith and trust and release and surrender. And those are four very important words in getting on your spiritual path. You have to believe. If you keep saying to yourself, well, God's going to screw me over and this is all going to be bullshit, then that's probably what's going to happen. But if you believe that you will be taken care of, if you believe that if you just keep showing up and doing what it is you are meant to do and being positive and being lovely to other creatures here on the earth, human and otherwise, that you will be taken care of, you will be taken care of. You know, a lot of my clients ask me, like, does God hate me? It's like, why does the universe hate me? Well, the universe doesn't hate you. Universe just doesn't want you to throw your whole life away on some person who treats you horribly. You know, that's
well,
not
hate. Well,
when
people
have
asked me that, why does God hate me? And I said, why are you having a temper tantrum?
Yeah.
And they go, what? I said, here's the deal. What I have ascertained, it may be different for everybody, but it's a very gracious energy. The only description of God in the Bible is God is love, and therefore love allows. So the question then rolls back to you. Why are you so resistant? Because you, I know my guardian angel must throw herself on the couch going, I can't talk to you when you're hysterical. So if you could calm down just a minute. I have a plan. We have some things to do here. But really, until you stop pacing and striking, what are we going to, I mean, so, and sometimes I've had to do that. And they're so infinitely patient going, okay, give him a minute and he'll be back in a minute. But he's really going to have to stomp around and scream.
That's fantastic. Don't make me come back there. Sometimes I think, I feel like my spirit guides are like, don't make me come back there. Yeah, I know.
Well, and I haven't told this story yet. So when I was here back in 1980, and remember it was a different time, I had a little disco damage this certain evening, and I was a Queen Mary tour guide, and a bunch of people after work decided we'd get together and do a little partying, and there was an old Edwardian house on Ocean Boulevard, and it had been cut up into little tiny apartments. And a friend of mine had one, but he had the one that faced Ocean Boulevard that had a big front window. And I remember sitting there, oh, I looked so cute. And I'd worked hard at it. I was wearing little Daisy Duke short shorts, a little crop top, showing that flat belly, feathered hair streaked with sun in. Tube socks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, I am your country breakfast right here. And I'd had about, 17 beers. So I'm sitting in this window, and I'm laughing, and I'm laughing, and I'm laughing, and I fall backwards out of the second floor window. I bounce down the porch roof into a tree, hitting every limb on the way down and falling into the bushes. I'm scratched up. The fact that I still have any teeth from that fall And then I promptly stood up and threw up on the lawn. I thought, well, so I moved into my apartment. I was putting things away. I thought, I need to take a walk. I cannot unpack one more box. So I come out of my apartment. I take a right. I take four steps, and there's the house. I'd forgotten all about it, but it's been restored. And the man is polishing up the big brass door knocker that he's just put on the original front door. His house looks glorious. And I stood there, and I could still see there's a staircase in the back, so they must have kept one apartment in the back. And I got a lump in my throat, and I said in my mind, look, they restored you. And an outside voice, Sheena, in my right ear said, oh, and you too.
Oh. Yeah. Isn't that nice?
And yeah, I walk by that house, and I blow it kisses listen. Every time.
Oh, I love that. If you just write, if you just listen, Spirit will speak to you and give you words of confidence. But you have to listen. You know, every time I pull into that driveway, I remember the first time we pulled into that house with the moving van when I was 13 years old at my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that I wanted and all the hopes and dreams I had and coming from being very unhappy in Baltimore. We lived in that horrible haunted house, and I was such an unhappy person. And some people probably would pull into that house and think of all the dreams they had that didn't come true. But all I do is think about how far I've come and how happy I am in my life and how thankful I am to be here. And I'm excited to fix it up and move back in with my partner and her kids, and kind of give that house the happy home life that it got when my mom and I loved each other there, and even more happy because, you know, my parents' marriage was not terrific, and it's going to finally have some happiness. I think that house deserves it, and I'm excited to do it. And I was very reticent to do it. It's very hard to move into a place that you still consider your mother's and call it yours, especially as close as we were, but I had an interesting thing happen. I had a problem with the gas line, and I had to have a plumber come in, and it turned out they had to tear up the whole side of the house and replace the line all the way up to the box, and I felt very weird when they were doing it. And when I went to take the insurance company there to look at it, the adjuster, and I opened up the side door, and there it was, and it was all, you know, cut up and new, and I thought, you know what? Something just kind of clicked in me, and I thought, oh, I want to make this whole place new now. I want to really give this girl a spit shine and make her beautiful. And it brought a lot of closure. It's interesting how you have to think of things as what's the good that's come from this, I think, to get closure. We spend so much time dwelling on the bad, you know? And
yes,
yes,
I understand.
And especially now, I tell people when I do my sermons and I tell people when I speak to my clients, well, guess what? Here's a good thing. They said, tell me something good in my life. And I'm like, you survived COVID. You're still here. A lot of people wish they were still here, and they're not. And you are. So isn't that great just starting out? Congratulations, you're here. Now what are you going to do with your time here? You know, what are you going to do with this extra time? And I know that a lot of my friends that had HIV and AIDS in the 80s and 90s felt that way, like, wow, I lived. Now what am I going to do with my life? And I think a lot of people that were not around or a part of the community couldn't relate to that. But this is a plague that every single person in the entire world could have gotten and should have gotten. So now let's start from that place of, wow, what's good today? I'm here. And now moving forward, what can I do to make it better today? You know what I mean?
Well, and that's, I will remind my clients, you know, the quality of your life depends upon the quality of the questions you ask yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what are you looking forward to now that the world has opened up again, my friends? We're pretty much out of time. Let me know that and where people can find you online, and let's do this again soon because I adore you.
well, back at you, and let's do it in 3D world. Because God knows we can find a place in Seal Beach for some cute coffee. I'm telling you what. You can find me at pauljasek.com. I would love to read for anyone that's interested as an empathic tarot reader. Or you can find me on Facebook, Paul Jasek Tarot Reader. And I just came back from a weekend in Las Vegas, so I'm back doing stand-up. And so I'm all over the place, and I would love to read for some of your clients. Well, not your clients, some of your listeners. Whoops.
Or my clients. I love that, sweet. I love that about you. You're a very wonderful person, and it's great to have you here, and I'm proud to call you my brother. Everybody, the wonderful Paul Jasek, thank you for being here, sweetheart, and for being a part of my world. You are very loved by me. I think you're a very, very special person, and I'm glad to call you my friend. And thank you for bringing a little bit of your beauty today to this show. It's so much appreciated, as you are by me. Everybody, the wonderful Paul Jasek, great to have him here. I'm Sheena Metal. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. If you would like a reading or a healing, I do animal communicating. I do house cleansings, blessings, anything. My spiritual work, my ministry, this SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for everything, and my nonprofit, RaisingTheVibration.org. Please find me both places. I would be honored. Also, this show, RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, we're here every single Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time, and I'm here on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 Pacific Time doing Haunted Playground, which I love and is so much fun. Check out LiveParanormal.com. I do 3 video shows, including the companion show to this. I call I Am Raising Your Vibration, and that's going to be at 9 o'clock Pacific tonight. I will be doing some free psychic readings on video at Live Paranormal's video channel, facebook.com/TheLiveParanormal. And also you can find me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, at Sheena Metal everywhere, and my spiritual service, SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. It is the 10th of July, my next service. 5 o'clock Pacific time, we're going to have parishioners in person for the first time ever. Please come if you're in the Los Angeles area. If not, please watch us online, SaturdayNightSpiritual.com. I adore you all. I love my life here at Live Paranormal. Live Paranormal, thank you for being one of the good things that came into my life as I let a lot of the not great things go during the pandemic. Till I see you next time, my friends. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness. Embrace unity. Always raise your vibration. And, of course, remember to ascend, evolve, inspire, and love. I'll see y'all next time. Take care. It's great to be here. Thank you, Live Paranormal. I'll see you next week. And keep raising your vibrations, my friend. So very important.